This morning, we begin our Lenten journey together. Some of us were able to do that on Wednesday night as we celebrated Ash Wednesday together, and we're introduced to our theme for this Lenten season, which is reset. We're invited during these 6 weeks leading up to Easter to reset our lives, to return to our God, to restore the relationship that we have with God, to restore the relationship that we have with others. So this morning I'm going to be reading from the book of Isaiah, the 49th chapter, and it's quite a long passage, and so before I begin to read, I want to set the stage for us just a bit to help draw us in to what we're going to hear from God's Word. God's people, the people of Israel, have been defeated. Their temple has been destroyed. They've been taken into Babylon. They've been alienated from their homeland. And they even feel alienated from their God. They're in exile. They're in a moment of crisis. They're in a moment of feeling heartbroken. They're in a moment of feeling alienated. They're in a moment of feeling far, far away from anything that is familiar. They're wondering, has God left us? Has God forgotten us? Does God even continue to be present among us? And so here we find in Isaiah 49 a response to the people who are feeling that way, to the people who are feeling exile, hopeless, alone, angry, and afraid. So I invite you to hear from Isaiah 49. And I might encourage you, if you have your own Bible, that you might want to keep it out. Or if you have a pew Bible, I would also invite you to keep it out. But if you have your own Bible, there might be times that you want to underline a word, because there's some great words in this text. Some words that are going to keep us all going as we reset our lives. Isaiah 49, hear now God's word. Listen to me, O coastlands. Pay attention, you peoples from far away. The Lord called me before I was born. While I was in my mother's womb, he named me. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me away. And he said, you are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified. But I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my cause is with the Lord and my reward with God. And now the Lord says, who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him. For I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God has become my strength. It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One. To one deeply despised, abhorred by the nations, the slaves of rulers, kings shall see and stand up, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel who has chosen you. Thus says the Lord, in a time of favor I have answered you. On a day of salvation I have helped you. I have kept you and given you as a covenant to the people to establish the land, to apportion the desolate heritages. Saying to the prisoners, come out, and to those who are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed along the ways, and on all the bare heights shall be their pasture. They shall not hunger or thirst, neither scorching wind nor sun shall strike them down. For he who has pity on them will lead them, and by springs of water will guide them. And I will turn all my mountains into a road, and my highways shall be raised up. Lo, these things shall come from far away, and lo, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Cyrene. Sing for joy, O heavens. Exult, O earth. Break forth, O mountains, into singing. For the Lord has comforted his people and will have compassion on his suffering ones. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her nursing child or show no compassion for the child of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. Your builders outdo your destroyers, and those who laid you to waste go away from you. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather, they come to you. As I live, says the Lord, you shall put all of them on like an ornament. And like a bride, you shall bind them on. Surely your waste and your desolate places and your devastated land, surely now you will be too crowded for its inhabitants. And those who swallowed you up will be far away. The children born in the time of your bereavement will yet say in your hearing, this place is too crowded for me. Make room for me to settle. Then you will say in your heart, who has borne me these? I was bereaved and barren, exiled and put away. So who has reared these? I was left all alone. Where then have these come from? Thus says the Lord, I will soon lift up my hands to the nations and raise my signal to the peoples. And they shall bring your sons in their bosoms and your daughters shall be carried on their shoulders. Kings shall be their foster fathers and queens your nursing mothers. Hopefully you heard in that a reminder of Moses. Kings shall be your foster fathers and your queens your nursing mothers. With their faces to the ground, they shall bow down to you and lick the dust of your feet. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Those who wait for me shall not be put to shame. Can the prey be taken from the mighty or the captives of a tyrant be rescued? But thus says the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken, and the prey of the tyrant be rescued. For I will contend with those who contend with you, and I will save your children. I will make your oppressors eat their own flesh, and they shall be drunk with their own blood as with wine. Then all flesh shall know, I am the Lord your Savior, your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. You who are our rock and our redeemer, our strength and our salvation. Amen. So the people in this passage... The people in this passage are bereaved. We know what it feels like to be bereaved. They're barren. They're exiled. They're left alone. They're forgotten. We can relate. We can relate to how they are feeling. For we too know disappointment. We know hurt. We know fear. We know grief. My goodness gracious, this church of ours has celebrated the lives of 10 saints since Christmas. We know grief. Many of their loved ones are sitting in our pews today. We know the pain that comes from death. We know what it feels like to miss someone that we love and care about. Many of us are sitting here having heard of a diagnosis or a health challenge that is ahead of us. And we know the uncertainty and we know the fear and we know the questions and we know the wonders. Many of us are sitting here worried about a friend or a loved one that is carrying a burden so great that we wish we could just take that burden away from them. Some of us are still sitting here processing the events of General Conference at the United Methodist Church, and some of us are still struggling with the harm that was done in the midst of that time. Some of us are wondering where our next bill will come from. How will it be paid? We're struggling to make ends meet, and we're wondering how on earth is that going to be taken care of? So we know. We know, like the people of Israel, we know bereavement and barrenness and exile and forgottenness and being left alone. And we know fear and heartache and hurt and grief. And into that, though, we know that God sent a servant. And that's the first part of chapter 49, is this servant that God has sent into the midst of this barrenness, into the midst of this hopelessness, into the midst of this sadness and disappointment. God has sent a messenger, a servant. And here's what is said about that servant. The Lord called me. While I was in my mother's womb, He named me. He said to me, "You are my servant." He formed me in the womb. I am honored, honored in the sight of the Lord. So God has paved the way and sent a servant that's described as having been called and formed and shaped in God's very own image and brought into the world to bring a message to the people who find themselves in barrenness, a message to the people who find themselves in hopelessness. And the message that this servant is called to bring to the world is that there is a God. There is a God. And here's how that God is described. In verse 6, "It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel." That's who the God is. The God is a God of restoration, of restoring, of healing what is broken, what is barren, what is hopeless. The servant says, "There is a God. There is a God who is here to restore." And then in verse 7 and verse 26, we read that this God is the Redeemer. The Redeemer. The Redeemer of Israel. In verse 26, "Your Redeemer and your Savior." And your Savior. God. God comes into the midst of the hopelessness, the brokenness, the barrenness, the sadness, the grief, the pain, the sorrow. And God is present to restore and redeem Israel. And God is present to restore and redeem you. God is present to restore and redeem you. Us. The world around us. In verse 8, we read some more descriptions of this God. God's the subject of all of these verbs that we read in verse 8. "I have answered you," says God. "I have helped you," says God. "I have kept you," says God, "and given you as a covenant." That's who starts our reset, friends. In the times when we feel broken, alone, barren, grief-stricken, forgotten, in pain, bereaved, we know that there is a God that is waiting to answer us, to help us, to keep us, and to give us restoration and redemption. For our God is a sovereign God. Our God is an all-knowing God, an all-present God, an all-powerful God. 10 times since Christmas, I've proclaimed in a funeral liturgy, when all else fails, there still is God. When all else fails, there still is God. Our God, the God that's spoken of in the book of Isaiah, is a God that has a way of working out of nothingness. That's how creation came into being. Out of nothing, God brought forth life. And out of nothing and brokenness and barrenness, God has continued to bring forth light and life, because God is a God of restoration and a God of redemption. Verse 11 says, I will turn all my mountains into a road. God's talking about God's mountains. God's going to turn all the mountains that are around us, all the mountains that we personally are facing, all the mountains that seem to be squashing us in the midst of our forgottenness and our barrenness and our nothingness. And God's going to take those mountains and transform and make them into smooth roads. Because we have a God. We have a God that is with us. A God that says, you belong to me. A God that will never, ever, ever, ever forget us. Verse 16. See, I've inscribed you on the palm of my hands. This God that so freely loved us with such a selfless kind of love, even has our names inscribed on the palm of God's hand. There's some beautiful images that come up here just above that, talking about a woman nursing her child. A lot of times we don't think of God as having woman-like characteristics. But here God is being described as like a woman nursing a child. And how could a woman forget the child that she is nursing? Well, it's possible, says the book of Isaiah. It is possible. But God says, I will never forget. I will never forget you. You are the child that I have nursed and brought forth into life. And I will never, ever, ever forget you. Your name is inscribed on the palm of my hand. So what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do because we find ourselves in this barrenness, this forgottenness, this loneliness, this hopelessness? What are we supposed to do? We hear the words that we have this God and this God is with us. And what is it that we're supposed to do? Well, Isaiah tells us. In verse 13, Isaiah says, sing for joy. In verse 18, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes all around and see. The mercies of God are all around us. Sing for joy and lift up your eyes. We are invited in this season of Lent to reset our lives. To reset our lives and to sing for joy. To lift our eyes up to the God of our salvation that has promised us God will be with us today, tomorrow, and forever. God has never abandoned God's people, and God never, ever, ever will leave God's people alone. So we're invited to reset our lives. In the midst of our barrenness, our loneliness, our hopelessness, our disappointment, our fear, our sadness, we are invited to remember that God has joined us in that moment, and God is with us. God is with us. Most of you know the story of my personal life right now. Most of you know that my mother was diagnosed 6 weeks ago with colon cancer. Most of you know that I worked with our congregation and then I went on with the broader United Methodist Church to be part of a conversation around General Conference. Most of you know that I had a biopsy and was discovered this week that I have breast cancer. And over and over and over again, people have said to me, "What are you going to do?" The only thing I know to do, friends, and that's to keep going. That's to keep going because God is with me and God is with you as well. I don't know all of your personal struggles. Some of them I do. And I know that right now, it's pretty much the pits for some of us. And yet I know that God is with us. And so we're invited to reset our lives. To sing for joy. To lift up our eyes. And to live into our faith. Because that, friends, is the message that the world needs to hear. That there is nothing that can stop the people of faith. Nothing can stop the people of faith. When all else fails, there still is God. So in this season of Lent, reset your lives. Return to the God of your salvation. Be restored, be redeemed, be renewed. As you remember that God is with you. God will never leave you and God will never, ever forsake you. I've heard a lot of people say this week that everything happens for a reason and God won't give you any more than you can handle. And friends, I'd like to say to those two things, that's not the theology found in Isaiah 49. The theology found in Isaiah 49 says that everything that happens, happens with God's presence with us. Everything that happens, God is with us. And God won't give you more than you can handle. What in the world does that mean? What in the world does that mean? We're going to receive a lot in life that we can't handle. Because we can't handle anything. But we have a God. We have a God that takes our mountains and makes our mountains straight plains. We have a God that takes our pain and our barrenness and makes it into something new. We have a God. We have a God. That doesn't give us stuff to handle. We have a God that walks with us and will not ever, ever leave us. I invite you to join me in resetting your life and remembering that God is with you. God is with you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And so now we have the opportunity to lift up our eyes and sing for joy with one of the greatest hymns ever written. Hymn number 140, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Will you lift up your eyes and sing for joy and stand?